kind of see people behind everything is somehow important to me. Hello and welcome to the next episode of Code and Beyond, a podcast where we talk about software development and anything beyond that. The topic of today is teamwork, which means not just working with other people in general, but being part of a team, in particular teams that work on software projects. My name is Alex, and as usual, I am joined by my good friend Pablo. Hi, Pablo.
Hey, Alex.
So before we jump on the main topic of today's episode, do you have any highlights or shoutouts?
I have one. It's about Ruby. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, I read an article on Hacker News about a library called Async Ruby. It looks really cool. It's about allowing async requests, and it already has a bunch of other libraries that use this record library, like HTTP, Async, and others. They are going to be great to do IO heavy operations asynchronously. That's a tricky word. It's bringing concurrency to Ruby.
It looks exciting. I read the article that you shared. It looks really nice. The code looks clean and very, very readable. Yeah. Very Ruby-ish, I would say. So, and once we don't have any highlights anymore, let's jump on the main topic. So, teamwork. The first question, maybe we will stop right away. It depends on our answers. Mm-hmm. Do you prefer work solo or you feel more comfortable working as a part of a team?
Me personally, I prefer to work as a part of a team. I like to work with people. I like to get feedback from people. I love pair programming, for example. I also have my personal projects. That's where I play along with them. Even for those, from time to time, I like to borrow a friend's brain and explain my ideas. It's much more fun to work with people than working alone. How is it for you? Do you prefer working with people or on your own?
It's a tricky one for me personally, because I don't know. It really depends. So I would say that I really enjoy working as a part of a team, but also sometimes I feel that I need this time to be alone, to work on my stuff just for myself, which is a process of re-energizing somehow. That's why I also have a bunch of side projects. This is my way of recharging batteries. If I have to pick between solo or teamwork, I would pick teamwork. Of course, it comes with its own set of challenges, but in general, it's more enjoyable for me personally. These challenges, so if you have more than one person, you might have some communications issues, right? You could have different opinions on implementation of something, right? Yeah. These kind of things. And the more people you have, the more chances for these kind of situations you have in general, right? It's a tricky part of teamwork, how to organize the team, how to balance the team, what are the rules and so on. What needs to be done when new person joins the team, the productivity of the whole team. All these questions, they appear only when you have more than one person.
I guess that's why when you talk to HR people about this topic, they usually say that they prefer to hire for team fit than for skill level. Because if you hire someone that doesn't fit well with the team, cause problems, even if he's brilliant at the technical level.
So we agreed that it's better to work for us, at least to better to work with the team.
Yeah.
What is your preferred size of the team? Because this also could be different. Could be 10, could be 20. What is your number?
I think somewhere from 2 to 5, mm-hmm. something like that. And then if you have more than 5, maybe it's time to start to think about splitting. I don't know. It depends on, as always, depends on the project, people, even the seniority of the that you have on the team. But for me, small teams are easier because you get to know each other better, because you have more chances to collaborate. To be honest, I never work in teams bigger than 5 maximum. For sure, never more than 10.
Same here. And I totally agree that it might depend on the project, on, I don't know, field and an area where the company operates. But yeah, smaller teams, I would also prefer smaller teams. It's not because I don't like people, but I don't know, you feel more productive when the team is not huge.
And if you have to synchronize more than 10 people, I don't know. As I mentioned, I never had the need mm-hmm. doing it, but imagine like you have to do a planning session, the whole team. If you want to listen to every single one's opinion, difficult, right?
Yes.
You really have to think about how to do it. I don't know. Probably a meeting is not the way to go. I'm thinking now about open source projects where you have a lot of people collaborating in one project. How they usually work is through async communication, right? You have a request for comments and then people can comment on there. And usually you don't have more than 3-4 people commenting on them. The rest of the people involved in the open source project probably are touching in other areas, or they are not interested in this specific RFC.
Mm-hmm.
If you take that example, people tend to organize in small teams.
So then it's natural division, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. So we have a team of, let's say, 5 people, just to make it easier. So it's a software development team. So they produce some kind of software.
Mm-hmm.
And usually there are some roles, right? Not all of them software developers, right? They have different roles.
Yeah.
Could be manager, a bunch of developers, maybe QA engineers.
Designers, SEO people, we learn about them.
Yeah. That's right. So it depends, of course, on the work they are doing or the project they're working on. But there are always some roles. What is your ideal setup, the ideal responsibilities of these people? How they can interact with each other? Is this team flat or there's a hierarchy?
In an ideal world,
yeah,
for me, it will be flat, totally flat. But I haven't seen that in real life. Usually, even if in theory is flat, people tend to organize in hierarchies. Someone else speaks louder than others. So it's tricky. Organizations are not flat in general, right? In the paper, and the paper can be flat, but yeah, it depends a lot on who has the loudest voice or he has more knowledge and leading, things like that. So usually people tend to organize in some kind of hierarchy, right? That's what I tend to see on teams.
That's totally right. It happens a lot. But if we talk about ideal picture, right, ideal team structure, I would see it. So yeah, team is flat. So there is no hierarchy. Everyone has a role and everyone fulfills this role, right? The manager helps with the communication and organization, making sure that the team performs properly. So this is the role. Software developers, they care about the software, right? They write code and design and so on.
In the ideal world, the role shouldn't be so important. So if the team has been working together for long enough, in the ideal world, everybody should know how to do the other's work, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
If the team needs to perform a task, in the ideal world, everybody on the team should know how to do it. If the team needs to deliver a marketing email,
mm-hmm.
a developer can do it. Or if the team needs to run a retrospective, everybody should be able to do it.
Do you think it's possible?
I don't know. We are talking about ideal world,
yeah, that's right.
Right.
Fair enough.
It should be possible. So imagine that you have been working with the same team for, I don't know, 10 years, and you have been aware of everything that's going on, and you pair with team members on a regular basis, rotate positions from time mm-hmm. to time so you can learn. In theory, it should be possible. And I think there are books talking about that. And even companies that claim that they do it. In theory, it's possible, and it sounds great.
I don't know. To me personally, it sounds a little bit too idealistic.
My point is that over the time, that specific area that only one team member knows about it should fade. You collaborate for long enough so you share your knowledge and the rest of the team learns to do those tasks.
Oh, yeah. So now we have a team of people. It's 5 of them still, right?
Yeah.
They have their own roles, and let's say they achieved something, right? Now it's time to get some rewards or to present this work. And from personal experience, I could see 2 possible scenarios when something which was delivered presented from perspective that this team delivered this. It's not this individual people contributed here and there to this project. Team as entity delivered this. Another way is to present the results of the work. Is saying, yeah, this person was responsible, let's say, for backend, and the manager did a great job making sure that the team performs exceptionally well. And in this case, you give a reward of some sort, or at least mention everyone personally and individually. Still mention everyone as part of a team, but paying attention to everyone, to every member individually. What is your opinion on this? There is no right or wrong way, of course, but maybe the preferred way, or what you are usually doing, or What is your experience in this case? What is your opinion on this?
I guess if you want to go in that direction of team of people that know how to do everything and behave like a unit, then rewards should be rewards, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you have individual rewards, people are going to behave like individuals. I'm thinking about, for example, teams of people that sell stuff, right? If you give them probably, I don't know, if you give them individual reward for a number of sales, they are going to try to sell as much as they can without thinking about helping the others, right?
Mm-hmm.
My personal objective, and if I meet my objective, I get a reward. But if you set team rewards, like if you sell X amount as team A, then everybody on the team gets a reward. Probably you're going to get more collaboration in that team, right?
Mm-hmm.
If one of them is underperforming, the rest are going to try to train him. He performs at the same level as the rest, so they mm-hmm. can easily achieve the target. I guess same goes for dev teams. If I want to drive the team to behave like a unit, I will try to do everything team focus and reduce the individuals. I'm just throwing ideas.
Yeah. It's an interesting topic. In my personal opinion, I would still see individual contributors, but it doesn't mean that the project was delivered by just one person. No, everyone did its own. As I say, like in my ideal team picture, yeah. Every role covers a certain aspect of the one whole thing. And it means if you remove one person, then it's not a whole anymore, right? And other way around, this one person cannot physically, it's impossible to deliver the whole thing. It's a team effort, 100%. But still behind this effort, there's individual contributors of individual personalities. I really like when this is considered. By rewards, I don't even mean money or something like this, or trophies of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying like kudos to whatever person, right? And then say the name of this person for being awesome in this specific area, this person for delivering this, and then here helping this, right? And not saying kudos to this team for making this possible. But it, of course, always depends on the project, right? Sometimes it's literally impossible to somehow distinguish between these individual contributions. That's also totally fine. But sometimes when it's possible, why not to mention? It doesn't mean that then you kind of separate people or set them against each other, like any sorts of competition. No, you just kind of still see people behind a team as entity. And somehow this is important for me, that people are still there. So that's why I prefer, when it's possible, to mention these individual contributions and then to give them this praise and this even verbal reward. It's also awesome. So yeah, kind of see people behind everything is somehow important to me. The topic is tricky.
Yeah.
But interesting one. Let's jump to another question, which is also might be tricky and no less interesting. Team ceremonies, like stand-ups, retrospectives, and so on. Team events. What's your opinion? Are they important, or how they important? Maybe there are some like better alternatives. I know that sometimes people don't have the ceremonies like stand-ups and then retros and then estimation sessions. They have, let's say, one meeting at the beginning of the week where they plan everything and then here you go. Then they talk to each other, but they don't have the whole team kind of meeting. So it's an alternative just to classic setup. Sometimes people have strict rules on this ceremony. Let's say stand-ups, it's 15 minutes, and this is how we do this. In some teams, these ceremonies are there, but they kind of have no rules. Every day is different. They're more casual. It's just conversation on specific topic. What do you think? Is it important to have these ceremonies? Which one you like the most? Like the ones with the strict rules or the more casual ones? Do you prefer maybe have this one of these alternatives?
To me, it depends a lot on how mature is the team, right?
Yes.
Because ceremonies and practices are like any other practices in real life. So if you start to practice sport from scratch, you have to follow all the rules at the very beginning. So you have to practice every day X amount of push-ups in order mm-hmm. to become stronger and then perform whatever you want to perform. And that has to be a ceremony. You have to do it every day at that time and follow the steps and the guide step by step, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once you're good enough and you know how to do stuff, you can relax and you can be more creative. And I think it's similar for dev teams in general. So if you're a super new team and you don't know how the team is going to perform, how the team is going to behave, I think it's good to put some practices in place so people start to know how to react to inputs and what to expect, how to plan, how to communicate. But if the team is mature enough, everything is going smoothly, you can start to remove practices. One example for me is the stand-ups.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fan of them because after some time, you get people just list what they did yesterday, what they're going to do today.
Mm-hmm.
And even worse, some people are working in long-running tasks and they are telling every day the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So today, same as yesterday.
What do you prefer in this case?
Remove it. So if it's not working, just get rid of it. The example, you have the daily stand-ups and they are not bringing, at some point you realize that they're not bringing any value to the team and people are not paying attention and yeah, they are not bringing anything. You can put it back if you need it. So
mm-hmm.
all of these rules, practices, and so on, they are there to help you. If they don't help you, you can get rid of them. And if you miss them after some time, you can put them back, right?
It's important to understand this. I know from experience that sometimes teams, they follow these rules because kind of everyone follows them and
yeah,
we have to.
Yeah.
Without understanding why these ceremonies are there. Like,
yeah.
What's the purpose of them?
Some people go crazy about the Scrum, Kanban, and we follow Scrum by the book, or we mm-hmm. follow Kanban by the book. Well, I care, but I don't care a lot because what I really care is about tracking the progress, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know if people are blocked, and I want to know if people need feedback, and I want to know what the progress of this specific feature, task, whatever. Those two frameworks can help, but they are frameworks. They can help, maybe they don't. So you have to evaluate and see how it works for your team and if it's working fine or not. Maybe the only practice that I wouldn't remove, the retrospective,
mm-hmm.
because that's the one that allows you to reflect and decide whether or not to remove one of the others.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion about practices. It depends a lot on how mature is the team.
Okay. This is a nice transition to another topic that I would like to touch today, that sometimes teams, especially when the team is just was just created, so it's a form in itself, people work on some conventions, style guides, whatever, some rules how this team will work as a team, as a group of people. And sometimes it leads to bike shading. If someone doesn't know what it means when you focus on something not that important topic and you discuss it a lot, just not to discuss the important topic.
Like quotes, double quotes versus single quotes.
Yes, something like this, right? You could argue for, I don't know, for hours on this, just to avoid talking about some nasty bug that no one wants to touch. That's why you discuss something else, which sounds like very important, as the team agreement, for example, could be one of these examples when people could spend days discussing this team agreement and how important it is and so on, and paying attention to every word and every dot in this team agreement, and they don't do actual work, but it feels like really, really important. So what do you think about this? I think all these style guides and then conventions and team agreements, they're important, but there should be some limit on this.
Yeah, that they are important, but yeah, you have to put some kind of limit on it. Like for code convention, for example, it's like it's difficult to agree because different developers have different preferences, and usually we have strong opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Single quotes versus double quotes.
Yeah,
it was kind of a joke, but it can become serious stuff depending you talk to.
Oh yes, yes.
People have very strong opinions about it, and they have very well-reasoned strong opinions about it. The way I try to solve those ones is like, okay, fine. If you have a style guide that enforces the rule, go ahead, create the rule, enforce it. If not everybody on the team agree on it, then you can create a separate thread and discuss on it. We have to have something that is enforced by a rule and automatically fixed. Otherwise, you're going to have inconsistencies.
In my experience, the most successful results when the team was setting these rules, but they started very small, let's say 3 or 5 maximum important things, things that's important for everyone. We are not the team if we don't follow these rules. And that's it. That was kind of easy to define. And the one rule was always there, that we are flexible to change these things. Because situation might change in half a year, for example. We will be different people, we will have different experience. Let's stay open. We have these retrospectives, right? We could always adjust. That was working. And then unsuccessful examples, when it was turned into this bike shading, right? This, in my experience, was then when people tried to predict how team will look in 5 years, set these rules which work forever, kind of, which is super hard. So we're talking for quite a lot of some time already. It's better to wrap it up.
Yeah, those topics are tricky and full of controversy.
Bike shading.
We could go for ages.
Okay, then let's just make a pause here. That was a really, really nice episode, nice topic.
Yep.
To summarize what we could say, at least 2 of us prefer to work as part of a team. Even if we're able to go solo, it's more fun not to go alone, right? We prefer to have smaller teams because then it's easier to manage, easier to find an agreement in case of some tricky questions. What we expect from the team? We expect that people are being responsible. Everyone plays the role which is assigned to this person with some knowledge sharing, right? So we increase the buzz factor in this case as well. Team ceremony is important, but it always depends on the team, how mature this team is. If it's a new team, then it's more important to follow whatever ceremonies you have more or less carefully and have strict rules. When the team is already worked together for quite some time, you could be a little bit more relaxed. Regarding any conventions, style guides, try to stay simple and avoid this bike shading issue, which happens sometimes. And sometimes you even realize it's when it's already too late.
Totally agree. That was a good summary.
Then that's it for today. Thank you for listening. In case of any questions, simply send us an email at codeandbeyond@protonmail.com. You will find this address also in show notes. Keep being amazing. Bye.
Bye.